Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franson, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hi, Paul.
Well, good morning, Susan, and it's time for Christmas. I'm already thinking of Christmas. I'm putting up decorations, and I hope it's going to be warm enough to decorate fully my outdoor Christmas tree this year. So it's Christmas in Iowa.
Yeah, and I think it's time to go around and find out what the towns around our listening area are doing. We went yesterday on a road trip. You want to talk about it?
Well, now, Susan, there aren't many places where you can actually go a few miles and catch a train to the North Pole, but that's the case here in central Iowa.
That's right. So we went over to Boone, and we talked to Fetter Stevenson at the Santa Express, and we pulled out of Ames in your trusty 1996 Buick and drove over to Story Street in Boone. From the time that we turned off the highway, we were invited in with Christmas wreaths decorating every light pole. After we passed a few blocks of businesses, Story Street was flanked by large, old, well-kept houses for at least a mile before we reached this business district. It's a great entrance to
the town.
Oh,
I love the entry into Boone. All those fine old houses along Story Street. It's a great way for a community to greet the traveler. And we stopped at the Boone and Scenic Valley Railway and interviewed Fenner Stevenson. He's the general manager, and he told us about the Santa Express and how that's going this year.
You know, this is just is all fascinating to me. I'm just very fortunate to be involved with it, and our Santa trains are just phenomenal. As of just a few minutes ago, we've got over 7,000 tickets at riders between now and when we, you know, through the end of the month or the Christmas. Well, if every seat on every train were filled, we'd have a little over 10,000 riders. That just doesn't happen that you do that. But we've got 7,268 riders. We actually are running 9 cars on this train. We've actually got seating for 300 in coach and 70 in first class.
70. I was wondering about the first class.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty new, isn't it?
That's new. This is the first year we've had first class. Decided to try it. And about 30% of our riders are first class. And, of course, it's just one car, too. So it's panning out pretty good.
Now, do the first class riders tend to be adults or more adults with children?
No, they're about half and half. Right now, about 40% children, 60% adults.
Now, for all the train, is it about like that, or do you have more?
No, that'd be pretty close. Just look at the figures here. That'd be pretty close. We've got 3,500, 3,600 adults and 2,500 or 2,400 children on the regular coach ride. So
that's pretty good. Very good.
Yeah.
And this is the first year you've done the first class.
First year we've done the first class. It's kind of fun. We've got what we've done with first class, they get not only to ride in our Chicago Northwestern's completely restored bi-level car, just a beautiful car, and it's all climate controlled and nice electric heat. But they also get a ceramic mug, and it has a picture on it of our Santa train coming in the snow last year. And they get a cup with a little bit about that. And, of course, they get a larger bell.
Yeah, right, the bell.
Has a real good ring to it. And so they get that. And then, of course, they have the hot chocolate and the cookies like we do through the whole train.
How long does the ride last?
It'll vary a little bit. Generally about an hour and 15 minutes.
Good.
But it depends. Now, last Friday night, we had over 400 on the train. And it took about an hour and a half because when we get to the North Pole, we stop out there, then Santa comes through the train.
Oh, Santa visits, too.
Oh, yeah, Santa visits. And he comes through the train, and he visits with the kids and gets his picture taken. And then he hands out, depending on whether it's first class or a coach. If it's coach, they get a bell there, too.
Okay.
And then they also get the hot chocolate and the cookies. And then he'll wander through the whole train. So it takes a while to go through when you got 9 cars and 400 kids.
But everyone has a great view to look out, and they can entertain themselves while the kids are being involved with Santa Claus. And
yeah, one of the really fascinating things about this is of course, everybody confuses us with the Polar Express, which we can't use the name Polar Express because that's trademarked, and so we use the name Santa Express. But in the movie Polar Express, the train flies. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it flies. Well, with us, they'll come up to the end of the depot, and we'll be talking to them, and they'll say, "Yeah, Daddy, this train flies." "No, Johnny, that's only in the movies that the trains fly. Yeah, this one probably won't fly." "Oh, I'll bet it does." Well, then we take off, and we go out, and when we get out just short of the North Pole, we go across Bass Point Creek High Bridge, and it's a single-track bridge, of course.
Right.
And when you look out the windows, you look down 156 feet, and there's nothing down there.
You're flying.
You're flying. And that's when the little kids will look at their dad and mom and say, "Huh?" So that's really exciting.
And you began selling tickets November 1 for this.
Right. Our members of the Iowa Railroad Historical Society can buy starting the 15th of October. But the general public, they go on sale November 1st. And we generally put them online the midnight on October 31st. And when we come in the next morning, we'll have a lot of orders to fill.
So it's instant success.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's people, they start calling in July wanting to know when they can get Santa Express.
It looks like you're booked forever in terms of interest. It's going to happen annually that people will come back and make sure they ride the Christmas trains during this time of the year. It really adds to the festivity and the tradition, the nostalgia of Christmas. It plays into so many things. And whether you have snow or not, it's still the Santa train.
We always have snow at the North Pole.
You do? Okay.
It's become a family tradition. We've got a lot of families. Had a family the other day I talked to, and they drive up from Kansas City. To ride the Santa Express, and it's one of those things. When I look at it, with all the problems we've got in the world right now, it's so much fun to watch these families come, and for an hour or two, they just are having fun. There's no worry about anything. Well, maybe how many cookies they're going to get, but there's just no worry about anything. It's just family fun.
So it's so unique. And it's such a out-of-the-world experience, really, because you're getting on the train, which to many people nowadays is nostalgic in and of itself.
Oh, sure.
Not that many people have experience traveling by rail. And then you have all the allure of the Polar Express and the media that's built up around trains and Christmas. That all works in your favor. And then here we are in this beautiful scenic area with a very high bridge, the illusion of flying. What do you want beyond that?
Well, that's the whole thing right there. I mean, we're very fortunate with our line because we do have the different terrain that we go across. We go across through the Iowa flatland, and then we disappear down into the valley, and as we go across that bridge, and then shortly after we get across the bridge, then we, of course, arrive at the North Pole. And as the train pulls in, it's all lighted alongside of the train, and we've got the Santa's North Pole Depot. The North Pole Depot is there, and Christmas trees, and just all kinds. There's a reindeer in the pins, and just a lot of festiveness about the North Pole. And I remember one time I had a little kid. I was going through the train, and I had a little boy look at me, and he says, "This isn't the real North Pole." And I said, "What? What do you mean it's not the North Pole?" Well, he says, "North Pole doesn't have any trees." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Have you been to the North Pole?" "Well, no." "Well, how do you know it doesn't have trees?" Oh, well, maybe it does.
That's a precious moment.
Yeah, you know, we get all kinds of stories like that, that the kids, they're just so excited. Some of these little kids, when they get on the train, they just are beside themselves. They're so excited.
It would be fun to take that trip just to watch the children, actually.
Oh, yeah. And the volunteers, this is one of the times when we have volunteers, because almost all the people that work the train for us, serving hot chocolate, making hot chocolate, all of this stuff that it takes to put it together, they love it. They enjoy seeing it. And some of them have been here for years doing this with us, reading the story. We have our own book that's been written, because we don't read the Polar Express. So we have our own book that's been written for us.
Oh, that's great. So it's like a storyteller.
Right, right.
Too.
Yep. There's just a lot of fun involved with it. The cars are, for the most part, are warm. Three of our cars do not have furnaces in them, or four of them don't. Yeah, but we preheat them real, real, real hot. And so unless it gets down well below zero, they stay plenty warm for the people.
And the people probably come dressed pretty warmly in the first place.
They come dressed for winter. Yep, they come dressed for winter.
Now review for us what the options are. When and if and how people can get reservations, who they call, and
okay, you can call us here at the railroad at 1-800-626-0319, or you can go online at scenic-valleyrr.com, or just Google Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad and you'll find it. Again, we have two classes. We have the coach class and the first class. We run every Friday night. One train on Friday night, four trains on Saturday, and two trains on Sunday from Thanksgiving till Christmas. So that now we'll be running till the 21st of December. That'll be our last trains.
And we should note that seats are still available. There's still room for people to call in. And
right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 7 of our trains where the coach class is sold out right now. Mm-hmm. And you can find that out either online or call us here at the office between 8:30 and 4:30, Monday through Friday. We do have one day that the first class is sold out. And the 6 o'clock trains on Friday night seem to be the most popular Friday and Saturday night. It is fun to go at night when it's dark and it's all lit up. But even during the daytime, it's still a great adventure. And, of course, through the daytime, when you go out, you get the advantage of going across the bridge and being able to see up and down the Des Moines River Valley.
Well, today we've been talking with Fenner Stevenson, who's general manager of the Boone and Scenic Valley Railway, about the Santa Train and all the events associated with the holidays on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railway. It's been truly delightful today, Fenner, to talk with you. It's always fun to talk to somebody who loves their work, loves the environment they work in, and loves the people who they work with, and loves the folks who come in the door to experience the Boone and Scenic Valley Railway's Christmas trains, the Santa Train. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you, folks.
And really, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
I can't resist saying a little something about the book they had written, because I happened to notice it after we got out of the interview and we're on our way to the door. It's written by Misty McNally, and that name really means something to me, because a year ago we came over to Boone. I went over with another county reporter to hear Misty McNally's talk about Kate Shelley. She was working on a book about Kate Shelley. And subsequent to that, I've had a number of conversations with her. Her book hasn't been published yet. She's still working on it. Once you get into a project like that, you keep finding more and more things. But I was so pleased that she's the one who wrote the new Santa Express story, and I didn't look at the book. So there's a mystery there, and I think she'll probably do a wonderful job, and all the children will enjoy, and their parents and their grandparents and whoever comes along to be with them will enjoy the story.
Oh, I'm sure they will, and I just thoroughly enjoyed Fenner Stevenson. He just exudes enthusiasm and warmth, and he's having more fun on the job than anyone has a right to have. Now, our next stop in Boone was the bookshop on Story Street, where we had an appointment with Susan Schaefer, who came to Boone 7 years ago to open a bookstore.
Last Christmas season, I visited several shops in Boone, so I didn't want to repeat those visits, but I do have an update. Although we didn't have time to go inside the stores, I thought they all looked more prosperous from the outside this year, and I think there were more of them. The Boone Business District seemed to be thriving. I had chosen to call Susan for an interview because I was told she was active in the Boone Area Merchants Association, also known as BAMA.
But first, I wanted to ask Susan about the bookstore.
We have new books and used books. We have Melissa and Doug puzzles. We have journals. And what we don't have, we can find for you.
So you can order things and find people's desires, and they can come here and you're going to make sure that they get what they need.
As much as I is in my power to do so, yes.
Well, it's a very brave business venture. Was it 7 years ago, did you say, that you started here?
Not quite, yes. We're on our seventh year.
So this is the bookshop in Boone, by the way.
On Story Street.
On Story Street. This is a mixture of two counties.
Well, this is true, but yeah. A bookshop on Story Street.
Yeah, it's romantic. Romantic.
It just made it for me.
But I love the atmosphere here. You have old books and a very, very nice, attractive shelving, and people can walk through and browse. It's informal. Looks like you have a resident cat also.
Two of them, actually.
Two cats.
We
okay.
just got them at the end of May. There will be a year in January. They're from the Nevada shelter.
Well, you know, I think this fills a niche in people's lives. There are people who, like me, want to cuddle up with a good book, and they like the smell of a book, the feel of a book, the turning of the pages. They like to be able to look and shop and find what they need, and you're catering to that, aren't you, Susan?
I'm trying my very best.
Now, 7 years ago, did this look like a good bet? Or scary?
Some of both. Scary as all get out, but it's what I wanted to do, and you just put your heart and soul into it and keep going.
And you moved into Boone. You're not a native of Boone.
I am not. I didn't know anybody but my realtor.
And so you came in here to a new town, new place,
yep.
with a dream, and you've made that happen for you.
Yeah, pretty much. With a lot of help from people. Great, great people here in town, though.
And they've supported you and made your business.
Yes, they have.
Were the first 2 or 3 years pretty difficult as a new business person in Boone?
They were rough, yeah. I mean, you know, retail always has a lot of ups and downs. But we made it through.
Now, is there a seasonal aspect to a bookstore?
Yes, we have... Well, right now it's, you know, Christmas books and books for Christmas presents and puzzles and all this. But even just in the middle of winter, if there's a storm coming, I have a lot of people come in just in case they get homebound for those next 2-3 days so they have something to read.
So the same people that go into the grocery store and buy 6 gallons of milk also stop here and get books.
Yes, sir, they do.
That's remarkable, but makes sense, you know.
You gotta love them.
Now, do people come in and have you order things specially for them?
Yes, I order books, movies, music. I have ordered tote bags for a lady, sheet music for another lady, whatever I can find for them. I have one that's always getting crochet tablecloths.
And you've been a source for these people, these varied interests. But I notice in looking around, you also have the latest publications. O'Reilly's book on the death of Jesus, I saw that here. So you have all the latest publications and some real vintage stuff, too.
Yes.
And you've got it divided into categories that make sense so people know how to find things.
I have to be able to find it. If I can't find it, it's no good. So it has to be organized. It has to be clean. It has to be neat.
And so you know what the customer wants, and you're representing the customer when you do your planning and your buying, just the way you've laid out the store.
I'm impressed with the way you've laid out the store with how much you have in this space. I think I read 45,000
books. 45,000 books.
And what's the proportion new and used?
Probably a third. We have more used books than we have new books. New books cost a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Well, and for the customers also, though, I like used bookstores because I can find wonderful books that I wouldn't otherwise be able to buy, and I can afford to just try them out.
Well, a lot of times people will pick up a book at a store and this sounds really good and they start reading it and they realize it's part of a series. Well, you can't always find the backstories easily, and that's really where I can help a lot of people and save them a lot of money.
So you can special order used books as well as new books.
I can. Unfortunately, with used books, when I special order, I have to pay shipping. With new books, when I special order, I don't have to pay shipping.
That's interesting to know. And this place is so welcoming. It's almost a living room setting, and Susan's sitting in a nice, comfortable armchair. And, and I think people can come in here and sit and look at her book for a while, and you wouldn't chase them out, would you?
No, I have some ladies that come in, they're not sure what they want, so we pull them 3, 4, 5, sometimes about a dozen books and sit them down here, let them look through. They're not sure if they've read this one or that one, and I just assume they made sure that's the book they wanted before they left.
So this is a very customer-friendly place, and you've sort of gotten into the mind of the customer and built a business based on what you'd want if you went to a store to look for a book, haven't you, Susan?
Pretty much.
Yes.
I've been to a lot of used bookstores, and I try and give them what I would want.
So here you are in Boone, Iowa, on Story Street in Boone. You're flourishing as a businesswoman as of these last 7 years, and you've toughed out the...
Before and...
That beautiful chime in the background is when anyone opens the door.
Yes.
It's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets their wings.
We have lots of angels here.
And speaking of angels, I noticed you have an angel tree right
yes, ma'am.
By your door, right by your cash register.
Yes,
Would
ma'am.
You explain the angel tree and where it comes from?
The Salvation Army is the sponsor of the angel trees. They have families with children who just need a little bit of extra help for Christmas. And so we have an angel for each of the children. It just says, you know, boy, girl, and their age. And the idea is to see if we can't help them have a better Christmas, whether you buy books or clothing. They set a store up, and the parents can actually shop from that store within the things that were given to the Salvation Army for them. And it's really good. That way they can choose what would appeal to their child without someone who has no idea who they are giving them something.
So when your patrons come in, they could take a list or an item that the child desires
mm-hmm.
and go buy that or furnish mm-hmm. that or get it from the Salvation Army. But they're specifically donating for that child.
Yes.
That's the beauty of an angel
yes.
tree.
And sometimes people will just, you know, buy 3 or 4 books, different levels, and say, here, we'll put this in the box and they'll go to the store. I have a offering basket up too. If they don't want to actually buy something for a child, they can just put an extra dollar in or something.
So you're the headquarters for the angel tree.
Oh, heavens no. Oh, no. They're all over the place. The Salvation Army's in charge of that. I just ask that I get a tree every year.
And you've done that for how long?
How
many
5
Christmases?
Years?
5 Christmases. Yeah,
I didn't even think about the first couple. I was kind of out of it a bit. But I'm learning as I go, and this is one thing that I want to continue doing every year.
And what I like about the angel tree is there's a specific thing happening for each child,
and it
fulfills their need, and it's local. Yep, exactly.
And you never know when one day it might be you or someone in your family who's
right.
fallen on hard times. It just
right.
it can happen to anybody.
Oh, in the recent recession, many middle class people who had great careers suddenly are going to food banks. So many people are one paycheck away from shortages, and not poverty necessarily, but extreme stress financially, and they can't buy the extra things at Christmas, and no child understands that. So
no.
If you can bridge that gap, and that child has access to a normal Christmas as much as possible, that's probably the most impactful thing you can do for a child.
I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
It's just a small way to help the community back.
Speaking of helping the community back, I understand that you're active in the Boone Area Merchants Association.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you tell me about that and what they're doing for Christmas?
We had a food drive a couple weeks ago to help fill the bus with food for Hope Foundation. We have a Santa that we've got coming in every Saturday from 12 to 2, the next 3 weekends, for the kids to come and sit with Santa and tell them what they want. And it's down there at 8th and Story. It's all decorated, and Tim Reese did a really good job on all that. We also have, this weekend is our sweet savings promotion. I'm doing it. People who walk in, they get a little candy bar inside as a color dot, and that would be their discount. that's just kind of a thank you to the community again. We had carolers when we had the open house, which was really nice. We had some of the churches, their groups came through and sang Christmas carols, and I heard a couple comments from other people, and they just thought that was really nice.
Were the open houses? When were the open houses?
We did them the weekend before Thanksgiving. That seems to be the traditional time here to do it. The Historical Society's got a soup supper this Thursday from 5 to 7.
So all kinds of things are happening at Boone at Christmas, and not the least of which is right here at the bookshop. And Susan Schaefer, you're part of not only the business community here in Boone, but also what happens at Christmas and all the things that are done with and for people. Oh, another angel got their wings.
I like that.
And it's just delightful to talk to you, because not only at Christmas time, but year-round, this is a place where people can go and enjoy a new book, an old book, sit in a chair, and just enjoy the idea of reading a book.
Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1 FM, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your county reporters, Susan Franzen, telling about the road trip Paul Wearson and I took over to Boone yesterday to explore what's going on there for the Christmas season. Earlier, we spoke with Fenner Stevenson, Executive Director of the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad. Then we heard from Susan Schaefer telling us about the activities of the Boone area merchants, as well as her bookstore. Paul, now I think it's time to listen in on your interview at the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce, telling us about how Boone celebrates the holiday.
Well, we're talking with Kurt Phillips. He's the executive director of the Area Chamber of Commerce here at Boone, Iowa. Kurt, welcome to our program today.
I'm glad that you could stop in.
And we are touring Boone today.
Yes.
We've been all kinds of places and looking around the town on a cold winter day. And just checking in with you as the chamber executive on what's happening in Boone now at Christmas time. There's a special event coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot of great things happening throughout the county and in all of our larger communities. A lot of it really starts this Thursday night here in the city of Boone with our holiday lighted parade and our official Christmas tree lighting. We've been doing that for quite a few years, and a lot of folks look forward to that. And it's just a fun activity in downtown Boone.
What time is it going to be Thursday? That'll be Thursday, though. Fourth, is it?
That's correct. Yeah,
Thursday the fourth.
Yeah, you know, again, there's a number of different things going on. The parade itself starts at 7 o'clock. They actually dim the lights on Story Street, which is our main street through downtown Boone, They dim all the what they call the people lights, keep the traffic signals running properly.
Yeah,
but along with the help from our public safety officials, we'll go about a 4 or 5, almost 6-block stretch up through downtown, and with some holiday lighted floats, we get some businesses and organizations, churches participate. They light it up. They use batteries. They run power out of the car. They have generators. They run music, and it's just a lot of fun.
So the floats have a Christmas theme, do they?
Yeah, we've got Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree is this year's Christmas theme.
Oh, that's the overall theme.
Yeah, this year in particular. And so the floats will be designed to sort of tie in with that if they can. And we usually get about a dozen or so floats, and so it's not a terribly large parade like you might expect during the middle of summer, 4th of July. But
right. But
a fun one. It's fairly brief, and this time of the year when it's as cold as it is out, you don't know if you want to stand out there for an hour and a half anyway. So it's a nice parade, and then it finishes up with the tree lighting, which is a lot of fun as well.
Is there going to be a session of carols being sung and that sort of thing at the tree lighting?
Yep. We, for many years, have gathered around the tree prior to its lighting and sing, four or five Christmas traditional songs and carols and so on and so forth. We usually have a great crowd downtown for that. Families will come out, mothers and fathers will bring their kids. And I call it our own little Rockefeller Center kind of thing, because we have a fairly sizable tree. It's about 20 feet tall. And this year it's been moved, so it's actually sitting in the what we call a green space, for lack of a better term. It's an area where we had some buildings that burned down some years ago, and it was just converted into a grassy area that a lot of people congregate at, specifically in the summertime. But we have actually had the tree placed there. The city crews do that. It's near our Santa's Workshop. Santa's Workshop is something the retailers have done in years past. It had been quite a few years, but they wanted to bring it back. And we used one of our buildings that we own and decorated up, and they stuck it down there again on the corner of 8th and Story Street. And we have Santa Claus coming every Saturday right up to pretty much Christmas time. Santa's there for a couple hours on a Saturday, noon to 2, and he's there to talk to the kids and let them get those lists off their chests so they can get those gifts requested. And there's certainly no cost, and it's just kind of a fun environment. And again, now with the tree that's up and the tree getting lit, it's just going to be a magical little area in our town for the kids and families.
Does Santa take the train down from the North Pole so he can go to the Santa's Workshop and
The legend is, over at the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, that's exactly how that works. I guess I've never been able to see Santa actually making that trip in. It remains a mystery to me, but the key is that Santa is in Boone and Boone County, and there are many opportunities for the kids to see him. And we'll sing some carols and then do a countdown and light that thing up.
And then are the businesses open downtown?
They are. Thursday night has always been one of the strongest evenings for retail in our community for many, many, many years, decades, really. And so, yeah, you've got, as a consumer looking for opportunities to shop and find different things, Thursday night is a great night where they do stay open later, most of them till about 8 o'clock.
And then so families can bring their children downtown, too.
Absolutely. It's a family activity all the way.
That's going to be this Thursday, December 4th. What's a good time to arrive if you want to have the whole experience?
Well, I'll tell you, our Historical Society even does a soup and chili feed right before that. Starts around 5 or so. So that's a great way to get started.
I was wondering when you talk about food. Was involved.
Food's a great starter. And if you want to get something warm in your stomach, go down there and support the Boone County Historical Society on 6th and Story Street. But after that, people will start milling about getting their spots. We don't close down Story Street. We just, along with public safety, sort of coordinate off at the time the parade begins. So you can actually park. A lot of folks will sit in their car and watch the parade go by if that's what you'd like to do. You probably want to be doing that somewhere in the 6:30 range, 6:45, no later than that, or you might find that you're having to walk up to Story Street to get a spot.
And how soon can you eat at the Historical Society? What time do they open?
I believe they start around 5. It's a great lead-in. It's a good activity, fun activity down there. And then the parade follows, and then the tree lighting, and we have then officially kicked off the holiday season.
And that tree lighting, that's the culmination of the evening.
That's it.
And a countdown, and everybody is so happy to see the tree lit.
It is pretty cool. And honestly, it's going to be front and center, right, really in the epicenter of the city of Boone's downtown. Very visible signature spot there for the rest of the holiday season. And so kudos to our city crews who really work hard to get everything looking as nice as it does for downtown. And that you can say also for the communities of Ogden and Madrid. They all participate and have their own Christmas extravaganzas or festivals, one- or two-day festivals. And it's a neat place to be at this time of year.
So you're confident there'll be a good crowd. And I think you're going to have decent weather.
Yeah, it looks like. We've had years where it's been pretty bitter cold out there, but this particular Thursday is looking very nice and should be a great night to be out.
Ding dong, verily the sky is riven with angels singing.
I'd like to clarify one of the announcements that Kurt Phillips made about the list of events for tomorrow. That is the soup and chili feed at the Boone County Historical Center. It starts at 5 p.m., but continues until 7 p.m., so there's lots of time to work it into your schedule.
Well, we had a lot of fun talking with Kurt yesterday, and, you know, he made some good points about communities here in central Iowa. You know, we talk about most communities being founded by a specific, maybe nationality or ethnic group. But really, in time, the communities have become far more diverse. Kurt shared that he had grown up in the Twin Cities area. Now he's a true, what do you call him, Boonians? he's a true person from Boone and loves that. His family's thrived there. And he made some very good comments on that issue.
This is not a community that is necessarily all one ethnicity or all one faith. People in the community of Boone, and now I'm speaking of the city of Boone, come from a number of different places. But what's really neat about it, when somebody is in need, I have never really lived in a community that comes to the assistance of those people better than this community. There is a strong sense of community and sort of a bonding together when there is a need. The Hope Festival is a great example. The Angel Tree is a great example. I'm in a service club that did a coat drive. Tremendous contributions there. You know, on and on. The examples would go on and on. If we really sat down and started to make a list of the efforts towards serving fellow man, we got a lot of it going on in Boone County. And I am very pleased to see that we do look out for each other pretty well here, considering we didn't all step off the same boat. We've come together from a lot of different walks of life, and that's pretty cool.
Nuestra luna ilumina toda la noche. Duermen en silencio toda la noche. Gentilmente y en silencio se revelan sentimientos. Se respira un aire puro toda la noche. Sobre el heno mi rey duerme toda la noche.
las estrellas lo acompañan toda la noche. El futuro rey observa nuestra paz, Jesús preserva. Se respira un aire santo, toda la noche.
Boone's Christmas Celebration is just one of many in our listening area. Kurt Phillips gave us information about celebrations in two other towns in Boone County, Ogden and Madrid.
What does Ogden Small Town Christmas mean?
I mentioned earlier in Paul and our conversation, Ogden does Small Town Christmas. They do that on Sunday, and they'll have a soup supper, and they'll have horse-drawn wagon
rides.
That'll
be this coming Sunday.
That's this coming Sunday as well. Oh, they do a number of different things, and off the top of my head, I know I'm going to sell them short, but they have their retailers are open on a Sunday when they maybe normally wouldn't be. So they do all kinds of things, and it's just kind of a great little rallying cry in the holiday season for a small town, and what a great community that is. They've done some amazing things in recent years. And then down at the southern end of our reach, really as an area chamber, Ogden, Boone, and Madrid are our main communities. Madrid also does their Christmas extravaganza, and they do that on Monday night the 8th, and they also do a parade and just hot cocoa and all kinds of things going on in Madrid as well. So I think what you see in Boone County is communities that have a very strong sense of community. They're together. They're working in concert with each other to make where they live the best place it can be. And the holiday times, it doesn't matter that it's gotten cold. Yeah. They're still pulling together some great little festivals and activities and events. And my guess is that fellow Santa Claus will make his appearance at both the Ogden Small Town Christmas and the Madrid Extravaganza.
Wow. Even without the train.
Yeah, no trains going all the way, but he's an amazing individual.
That's right. He's got the reindeer out there.
He's got a little magic, too. So,
before we leave Boone County, we ought to mention something that's not in any of the towns, and that's the Iowa Arboretum, which will have homegrown holidays from December the 5th, this Friday, to December the 21st. And they also have a festival, the Iowa Arboretum Holiday Gala, on December 14th from 3 to 6 p.m. And maybe we can talk with Mark Schneider about that on a coming program. But for now, let's find out what you've got for us, Paul.
Well, you know, Christmas is happening everywhere. And just beyond Boone County in Jefferson, that's in Greene County, the Christmas tree lighting will also take place on Thursday, December 4th. And here's the description from the Jefferson Chamber of Commerce. This sounds wonderful. The second annual Holiday Sparkle Community Christmas Tree Lighting will be Thursday, December 4th at 5:30 p.m. in the Greene County Courthouse. The event will feature caroling, bells, reading of the Christmas story, and the Sugar Plum Fairy Dancers. Think of that, the Sugar Plum Fairy Dancers. The highlight of the evening will be the countdown led by Santa himself, the lighting of the Christmas tree in the rotunda. The first 200 visitors to the courthouse will receive a coupon for a free decorated Christmas cookie from Homestead Bakery. Almost everyone who goes to the courthouse dreads that. On this day, it'll be a great celebration right there in the courthouse. You don't even have to pay for your tickets. This year, Jefferson Matters. Main Street will be joined by members of the Relay for the Life communities as they present a luminary of Love Christmas Tree in the east foyer of the courthouse. Outside the courthouse, they will have luminaries to light up the night. Thomas Jefferson Gardens is joining the fun by decorating their gardens for the holidays, featuring an outdoor tree and luminaries. And the BPO will have a soup supper as part of the festivities. They will be serving at the Elks Lodge from 4:30 to 7 in Jefferson. And after the tree lighting event, kids of all ages can follow Santa and Mrs. Claus through the pathway of luminaries for a ride up to the top of the bell tower. Hey, they can go to the top of that bell tower in Jefferson, and they can have a chance to share their Christmas wish with Santa. December 6th, 2014 to December 7th.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot going on in Jefferson. And their Christmas tree is in the courthouse, so you don't have to stand outside in whatever weather comes to watch it.
That's great. You can be indoors. I like that. Yeah.
Let's go on to Nevada, our other county seat. Central Iowa Presbyterian Church will be holding a children's Christmas workshop on Saturday, December 6th from 1 to 4 p.m. They are offering parents a break for kids from 4 to 12 who will make a Christmas present for their loved ones. Please RSVP to the church at 382-4998 if you have children who would like to participate. The Nevada Public Library will be holding a family holiday night on Monday, December 8th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Preschoolers through primary grades accompanied by parents are welcome.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring for you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding. Now bring some right here. Good tidings we bring for you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring some right here. Good tidings we bring for you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, one of the communities in our listening area that's very important is Story City, and I know that's where you come from, Paul. And the Christmas tree there, I believe, is quite special to you.
Oh, it certainly is. It means a lot to Story City. I think this might be the 100th year of the Christmas tree right there in the square at Broad and Penn, the main intersection in Story City. It goes back to 1914, and it has a lot to do with my grandfather, and he's an interesting man, Oscar Henderson. How many people can say that their grandfather was born in 1850? Not my great-great-grandfather, but my grandfather. He had a family of six children. His wife passed away. He married my grandmother when he was in his 40s and she was 18 and had six more children. He died in 1925, but he was a key business person in Story City. He owned several farms, and he and his friends got together and said, let's have a municipal Christmas tree right in the center of town. And that was a very remarkable idea in that time. Hardly any community across the country had a community Christmas tree right in the center of town where all the horses and carriages went, and a few horseless carriages probably. And they went and got that done, and they had about a 20-foot tree right in the middle of town with lights going out from the light posts. It was supported by the four-corner light posts at the main intersection. And lo and behold, last week we did it again, like we do every year. We had a Christmas tree lighting with all the carols, probably a record crowd this year. And we had the chili feed at the fire department and all the things people love to do. And I thought to myself, if old Oscar Henderson could see this, it would certainly warm the cockles of his heart. So there it is, 100 years. My grandfather, he would really be intrigued by the fact that this tree is still being lit. And at that time, they had street lights and a few stores had lights, but the majority of homes in Story City did not yet have electricity. But here they had this big Christmas tree right in the center of town, right at the beginning of World War I, 1914. And we did it again last week. Christmas is when you remember and do things you always did. In the Herald this week is a picture of that tree in 1914, right on the front page. And Kate File, our director of our Historical Society in Story City, dug up all those facts. And in the paper, she credited my grandfather with decorating that tree. So If Oscar's lying there on that hill, and I know where he's buried in this lonely old cemetery north of town up by the Bible camp, I'm sure he's a happy corpse.
That's a great story. Now, one of the towns we haven't mentioned is Webster City. And Webster City was featured a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about the path, the lighted path through Briggs Woods. So we will talk about what the city is doing, but the birds up there are coming in for a celebration. I talked to Pat Schlarbaum, who literally walked into the studio just as we were getting ready this morning, to tell us that there are 175 trumpeter swans that are now migrating at Beamer's Pond, which is 4 miles west of Webster City on Highway 20. And he told us some interesting things about them. Trumpeter swans are pretty noticeable. They are North America's largest waterfowl. They fly in family groups of 4 to 7, and you can tell which ones are the adults and which ones are the cygnets, the ones just hatched a few months ago, because the cygnets are gray and the adults are white. And a little follow-up to our Birds and Bees program that we had last week, the males are called cobs and the females are called pens. So be on the lookout for trumpeter swans if you're up on Highway 20 near Webster City. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and today we have been talking with Fenner Stevenson, Susan Schaefer, and Kurt Phillips. Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Brown. Music you heard today included God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Ding Dong Merrily on High, Toda la Noche, and We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Okay. From a recording called It's Christmas. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
And remember, you can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, where you'll find an archive for all the Local Talk shows we produced ever since we went on the air in 2012. And we are now streaming live as well. Recent shows will be posted on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, can get the information. There you will find lists of our guests and links to the organizations and other resources mentioned in our shows.
There's a little addendum to that. We now have all of our programs streamed live, as well as the recent ones archived. So if you go on our website and you click one of the little buttons that says Listen Live or KHOI, you will be able to listen to recent shows, including shows that we don't produce locally. We want to take this time to thank all of you who have become members of KHOI. If you have not joined KHOI yet, please consider doing so before the end of the year. We are looking to raise $40,000 by the end of January, so this is a great time to join in. Basic memberships are $40, premium memberships are $100, and we are looking as well for those of you who can become sustaining members with a donation of $250 or more. But of course, we are appreciative of any donations you can make. Please donate online to KHOI at khoifm.org or just come by the KHOI studio at 410 Douglas in Ames or send a check in the mail. You can find our address at khoifm.org. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. We're especially looking for county reporters. So all of you listening from out in the counties, please write that number down, 515-292-2878. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening and
see you again on the radio.
wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a